sense the problem somebody else has. For example, one way of getting the word of knowledge, somebody has a pain in the arm, is you get pain in the arm. And what happened to her, you know, she had pain in the head. So, and she prayed, and she didn't have anything coming here, but when I was praying, she got it. So, and that means that she had to pray with me. And she prayed and was gone. And we know that which was for. So that's, praise the Lord. See, that's what happens. You see, it's the fact that you have a pain, that's just a symptom. And it can be just the Lord speaking to you, you know, revealing to you that there is a problem with somebody with that thing, so you have to pray for it so that they can receive. And when you've done your job, it's gone. Amen? Anyway, I thought that I shared that because maybe that sometime that can happen to you too, and you have to realize that. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you had to just give us these few minutes that are left to enable us to just give the message you want us to give. Let your anointing be here to minister to us your life, your wisdom, your understanding, your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about a number of things here. The key things that I really want to stress is the importance of the heart, the importance of the heart in the things that we do with the Lord. You cannot walk by faith through your mind, because your mind doesn't have faith. Your mind has ideas. Faith is in the heart. And so has to be coming from the heart. All these things that have to do with God, you know, come from the heart. You don't love somebody from the mind. You love somebody from your heart. You learn to connect to God not from your mind, but from your heart. You learn to walk by faith, because you walk with your heart. See, there is always this theme that is recurring in everything. We connect to God that way. Our mind and our intellect often becomes almost an hindrance. Because, and it's not necessarily that it has to be an hindrance. We need to have some understanding what's going on. But often that's the only thing is there. And because that's the only thing is there, nothing happens. There has to be more than that. Heart is from where good and evil comes. The way Jesus said that. See, you don't, it's not what the things you do that is sin. It's the position of your heart that makes it sin. Because, you know, you can do some things if you don't know there's sin, and you're not sinning. Are you following me? Okay. So, we believe God from our heart. Because believing is of the heart, not the mind. And that believing is the same as faith, because believe and faith, pistis, is the same word. That believing happens when you make that decision that you choose to believe, that you that your heart agrees with what the piece of information that, or whatever it is, that you're connecting to. You see, it's always a decision. You decide that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. You may have known that scripture for 20 years, and you never decided it was true for you, and it's never going to be true for you. It's when you decide, no, this is true, and it's mine. See, truth is not by facts. It's from the heart, too. That's the only way the truth becomes a reality. See, because truth doesn't mean much in the world. Facts are not truth. A fact changes tomorrow. Today is one thing, tomorrow is another. See, all the physical world changes. The truth is the same. We have to understand that, because that's the way that we walk in the Spirit. If you believe that's true that you are sick, guess what? You're sick. But if you believe in the truth is that you are healed in Jesus' tribe, guess what's going to happen? So we have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to learn to walk by the things that the Word says rather than the things that you see around. This is how it happens that all things are possible to them that believe. The heart is able to make the impossible possible. It's from the heart that we get delivered from bondage. And this is where that happens. Remember, the heart makes the possible the things that are impossible. It makes the spiritual becomes physical. Spiritual truth becomes physical. This is why Proverbs 4:20 says, you know, my son, gives attention to my word, incline my ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, not the midst of your head. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the spring, the issues of life. So this is really the things that's where things start to happen. And the key things to really have things happening is that you start being connected with your heart and not with just your doctrines even. You have to know what's going on there. The important thing that we have to realize that our experience affected our heart one way or another. See, everything we went through from when we were born to today have affected the way our heart sees things, the way our heart, what the heart can believe. All our belief system is the result of all the experiences we have. And some of these beliefs are really completely wrong. It's the way we interpret things before. And so we had to examine our beliefs and examine the way we judge things and see if that grieves the word of God says or not. Now, you know, you can stay with your beliefs. And you are not going to be any difference tomorrow than you were yesterday. Or you can go to a source that is outside yourself, that supposedly know more than you do, which is God. Go to the Word of God and see a way you have to interpret life, and you are going to be affected by those things. And if that things go deeply enough that you can overcome the past experiences and beliefs, you are going to have the belief to make things happen according to what the Word of God is. But the mind doesn't like to give in. It wants to control. Your ego likes to control. That's why Jesus, you have to die to self. That's a part of dying to self that has to take place. It's not just be there putting yourself down and seeing that you are useless, a worm and a mess, and you can never do anything. That's not the way God sees you. I was just sharing last Thursday about the way God sees us. I mean, the way God sees sinners. God loves sinners. He's not mad with sinners. He loves them. I don't care what anybody says about that. Because He loves them to the point to send Jesus to die for them. I mean, what more can you love somebody? I mean, this is the biggest of the love that you can have. That's the value that God gives to us. And when you value somebody, you love somebody. It's the same thing. Hello. We had to come to realize the degree that God loves us, that God loves you. Religion is such a crazy thing, you know. People go around and say, oh, God loves sinners. And then, you know, as soon as they become Christian, God doesn't love them anymore. Hello. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. God understands the way we are made. That we are just earth. And our experiences have affected us. We have been damaged by the things, all the history of humanity and the environment we are in today. There's no way. And Lord loves us just the same way. And He's everywhere. He is with us all the time. He is there hoping that we just open up and respond to the love that He has for us, and we come to understand and receive the love that He has for us. Because that's what makes the difference. You see, God is a good Father. He loves us more than we can ever imagine. Because, you know, just to send Jesus to die for us is something that we cannot grasp with our mind to really fully appreciate. So that's something that we should think about and respond to. Because when we do that, the first commandment, which is loving God, it is not a difficult thing anymore, because we do nothing else. We love because He first loved us. See, that's the response. It's not because He's going to send us to hell that we love God. What is going to send us to hell makes us a Pharisee. The love of God makes us a repentant person. There is no way. Negative correction doesn't work. You know, when we start appreciating the love that God has for us, then all the problem about self-worth go away. All your insecurities go away. Because you know that God is for you, is not against you. That's what the Bible says. But religion says all the time that God is against you. He's ready to squash you at the very first little mistake that you do. Oh, you didn't say the prophecy that God gave you. Oh, you know, just you're damned. It's nonsense. Stupidity of religion. He's there wanting you to respond to His love. He cares, doesn't care about even what you do for Him. He cares that for you to love Him. Because when you do that, you're going to do things too, but that's not that. But you are not going to expect to have a good standing with God for the things you are doing, because you do them through your heart and not through your. I'm going to get some brownie points here. That's not the way it works with Him. He doesn't look at the exterior; He looks at the heart. You see, that's what He did when. You know, the prophet went there and was anointing the brother of David. And he looked good and looked strong and looked like he could be a king. And he said, no, that's not the one I want. The little guy there that is looks like he's good for nothing. What we are inside is much more important than what we are outside. That the way our heart is much more important than all the things we do. Because then we are just a question of being something, who you are. And this is why we need to understand, we have to connect all the things that we are in Christ. As we just get into that relationship, we get in Christ because we know the love that He has for us. You see, that's the response. We open up. You cannot have faith to do much if you don't trust God. And you cannot trust God if you are not convinced that He loves you more than what you can ever imagine. He loves you even more than your sins and your shortcomings. You see, it's the same thing with parents. If you were raised in a family in which you got unconditional love, you come up feeling confident about yourself. But if you didn't, you have lots of emotional problems. And lots of lack of confidence. Well, it's the same thing with God. That is an example of what happens in more down-to-earth, really, things. Okay? With God is the same thing. When we come into that relationship with Him, because we understand the love He has for us, instead of taking the religious junk that they throw down our throat, then we start to be confident about ourselves. We start to be able to trust Him. You cannot trust Him if you haven't experienced His love. You cannot have faith if you don't trust Him. Because the faith is nothing else than deciding to trust God and His Word. See, it's a decision, but it's really a decision about your relationship that you have with him. You know who he is, and you know who you are, and you know that that relationship, you can count on him. So you don't need to put anything together to make it work. Are you still there? This is so important to understand. All our lack of self-confidence, all our idiosyncrasy about, you know, not being good enough. God loves you just as messed up as you are. If you accept that, then a big weight goes off your shoulders. This is what happens when you start responding. You see, and then, I mean, how can you not love somebody that loves you so much? Tell me. Impossible. It's not a question of, I command you to love me. I mean, do you know some husband or wife that do that? Where do they get? I didn't get that, but that's okay. I mean, it doesn't work. You cannot tell somebody's heart to work in a certain way. It's by your heart that you communicate to somebody else's heart. Is the heart of God that deals with us and that proved it. You know, when your heart is in a certain place, your actions are going to correspond to your heart position all the time. So you see, being ourselves the way we should be is not a question of changing our behavior. Behavior modification is good for psychologists and it's a lot of work and may help somebody, you know, but really doesn't get very far. But heart modification is effortless and it produces the result right away because when your heart is in a certain place, I mean, when your heart is being convicted about something that you may have done before and the Lord reveals that this is not a good thing to you to do, it's not much effort to not to do it anymore. Why? Because you know that it doesn't fit you. It's the natural thing to walk free from bondage. There is no bondage that Jesus' blood cannot break. Nothing. And so we have to learn to do that. We have to learn to connect with the love of God. That what brings us victory and success. Realize how much He considers us worthy. He considers us worthy to send Jesus to die for us when we were sinners. Can you imagine what the way He considers you after you have accepted His Son? He looks at you exactly the same as He looks at the Son. That's what it says. We are brothers with Him. He looks at us and He looks at Jesus. Because He is inside us. Our mind can't grasp with that. Let's face it, it's too much for us to appreciate. But the more we are going to be able to see that and the more we are going to be like Him. It says today we are like Him. Today, that's what the Word says. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, that we know that we come together. You said that You are with us. And because You are with us, You're here to minister to us life and to set us free. And so we need to pray for one another. We need to take the time to receive from You. We need, Lord, to allow You to do the work through Your Holy Spirit in people's life. And we give You all the honor and the praises to You for the things that happen, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen.